I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Bragg came into office, he was handed a strong trial-ready murder case and gang assault case against all four of these individuals, where this brutal, savage homicide was captured on video. He was handed a strong trial-ready case, ready to go to trial. As soon as he took office, the case immediately began to unravel. He dismissed, completely dismissed, gang assault and murder indictments against two of the defendants clearly on video participating in the brutal, savage slaughter of my son.
She has every right to complain. That's Madeleine Brame, mother of an Afghan veteran who came home from the war and is killed in the streets of his own city by men he didn't even know. This is April 17, 2023. She was testifying in front of Ohio Congressman Jordan's Judiciary Committee on crime in New York City. There are going to be other cities to be included later. Yes, basically blue cities, because they have George Soros prosecutors, and they're letting criminals go free. This is about crime. But I want you to listen to how state-controlled media twisted with this question to New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
What do you think of this field hearing in your city about crime?
I think it's the highest level of hypocrisy. We know that cities all across America are dealing with the issues around public safety, particularly the criminal justice system. And right in the largest city in Ohio, it was reported today in one of the tabloids, the murders are up over 50% in the first quarter. And so while crime is going down, homicides are going down here, shooters are going down here, some of the major crimes, you're trending in the right direction. Our subway system crime is going down. So I think coming here and highlighting D.A. Bragg is just really a political stunt.
Oh, as if what Bragg did to Trump is not. But that aside, here you have Mayor Adams, who was a police chief, by the way. And I thought he'd be really concerned about, let's unveil the problems we have with crime. What he points to is a CDC report that appeared in the New York Daily News. I guess that's the one he called the tabloid, saying Ohio murder rates are far higher than New York City, as Jim Jordan is slamming New York City crime. Columbus is the nearest big city to Jordan's congressional district. Their homicide rate is 16 per 100,000. New York is 5 times 1 per 100,000, 5% of 100,000. I'm not a statistician, but I'm not sure that's really apples to apples. But the other issue is, here they are mocking and laughing about an inquiry to make your city safer. Congresswoman Elise Stefanik.
As a native New Yorker born and bred, I think it's important to note that many of the Democrats on this committee have smeared brave victims and fellow New Yorkers here today, calling them props, a circus, a performance, MAGA Broadway pops, and an underlying sham. What have Republicans focused on? We've focused on giving victims a voice. We've focused on crimes. We've focused on your story as a father, visiting your son at the hospital, seeing his face beaten in with an anti-Semitic hate crime. We're focused, Ms. Brame, on your story as a mother, grieving the loss, rightfully grieving the loss, and advocating on behalf of your son and his legacy. Ms. Harrison, we heard your story about losing your loved one. And Mr. Alba, we heard your story, just the personal challenges you've faced dealing with the consequences of the vicious crime committed, perpetrated against you. And in addition to House Democrats belittling the victims here today, Democrats have politicized this hearing, mentioning Donald Trump 38 times. That number for Republicans is zero.
And the issue was crime and crime victims, and because the crime committed is not being prosecuted. And gun control is always going to be a big part of debates about crime. But the left imagines a world that without any guns would all be safer. Listen to this rabbi's testimony.
You know, I sit here and listen. You're on one side, you're on one side. When Ronald Reagan was president,
Him and Tip O'Neill had regular meetings, got together and worked together
right.
in Congress.
That's right.
I don't understand why I have to sit here, whether Republican or Democrat. I'm a Republican, by the way. Fact of the matter is, if everybody would work together and not sit here and say, this party says this about Trump, about this, it doesn't make any sense. But the fact of the matter is, the criminals will get guns either way. You can do whatever you want. The criminals are going to get guns. They always have gotten guns. It's not going to change. It's not going to change. So you can sit here till your face blue in the face. You can say Congress are going to outlaw gun sales across America. They're going to get guns.
Yep.
The criminals will get guns.
Bad guys aren't necessarily stupid. They're just bad.
And on top of that, if they're going to violate a law like murder, that's a law. They're going to use a guns or knife or whatever else they want. Former President Trump, speaking the other day to the NRA, said the Biden gun control agenda is part and parcel to weaponize the government against law-abiding citizens. And then I've got a statement here from former President Clinton saying, you know, a lot of people get mad when you talk about having thoughts and prayers after one of these mass shootings. Well, if you believe that, then you're believed to compel to let kids die in order to keep your freedoms. That's sort of the way this debate is. No, sir, it is not. That is not at all part of the debate. We're looking to protect kids. When you put up no guns allowed, you're opening a gun-free zone, a target zone for thugs. There's a Kaiser gun study out that state-controlled media and leftists love. My next guest says it is garbage. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. Take a good look at your lawn. You're probably going to find some issues. That's when you contact Allen Outdoor Solutions. They have a solution for everything. Steve and his team are experts in irrigation, landscaping, outdoor lighting, lawn care, for home or business. Visit the Allen Outdoor Solutions website. You'll be amazed at the beauty and quality of work. Get a free quote, allenoutdoorsolutions.com, or call 314-647-4800. 647-4800.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on before. He's a senior editor with The Federalist. Always glad to have him on board. David Harsanyi, glad to have you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm looking at a piece that, and I really like the beginning of it, the way it's titled. I don't know if you chose the title, but your following paragraphs back it up very quickly. That Kaiser gun study the media love is garbage. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was my title. I didn't know how else to say it.
Well, I think you said it directly.
I think it's the best way to go about business, right? So, right. Yeah, there was the Kaiser Family Foundation study that was repeated across establishment media. The headline was basically that 1 in 5 adults had a family member who had been killed by a gun. But it was, you know, it's just a dubious poll for a whole bunch of reasons. And there were a bunch of other claims in the polling that sounds, you know, that if any real journalist would be very skeptical about.
Well, I'm skeptical of watching this New York City crime hearing underway that Congressman Jordan is carrying out. And you got the New York City mayor almost laughing about, oh, it's a fun show. And Al Sharpton saying, yeah, they should be in Columbus, Ohio, because it has a 16 per 100,000 killed versus 5 per 100,000 New York City. I mean, they throw these numbers around, and it's so hard to figure out where they even came up with them. What is the source for the Kaiser study?
Well, there was a poll, and, you know, when I looked into the poll itself and the questions they asked, you know, they had polled around, I think it was 1,200 something people, and online and on the phone. But the problem are the questions usually. For instance, let's just give you one of the polling numbers. So they say 1 in 5 adults had family members who were killed by guns or were threatened by guns, things like that. But they don't define what a family member is. Is it your second cousin a family member? Because that creates a huge nexus of people who know someone.
Right.
Was your grandfather who died in Vietnam a family member? Was, you know, there's no limit to it, so we don't know. They don't give a year limit, like when. How many years were there? So I figured it out. I mean, you have around 330 million people who live in this country. 259 million of them are adults. There are 40,000 gun deaths. And that would mean that every person who was killed had hundreds or thousands of relatives who knew them. I'm not trying to diminish those 40,000, but there's no way that is a realistic number of how we think about family. They should have asked about immediate family. They should have given, within the last decade and some kind of parameters that make sense. But they don't do that stuff because they want to create bigger numbers.
Well, the other part that they don't want to get into is how many might have been suicide or children picking up a gun that was left loaded and unprotected, and they picked it up not knowing what they're doing.
Right. If you want to know that someone's being dishonest in a gun argument, the first thing you look for is to see if they conflate suicides and criminal gun behavior and accidents. Because I'm not saying that the suicides aren't important, but it's a completely different set of problems behind that than there are about people who pick up guns and kill other people and murder. So, that matters very much.
Well, and in particular, because they are saying how deadly the gun is, you and I know, and if put to the test, I was quoting or ran some quotes the other day from Senator Duckworth of Illinois. Decorated veteran, lost both legs while she's flying a helicopter. I mean, you cannot take anything away as to what she's done for our nation. And she really knows that if you put that M16 or an assault rifle, whatever they want to call it, on a table, it will not do anything. Somebody's got to pick it up and make it kill somebody. She knows that. She's been in the military, and yet she's taken the leftist progressive line. We need to tighten gun laws, and in most cases, gun laws, they want to change. If they were followed properly, we won't need anything else, and in some cases, they weren't followed properly.
Yeah, I think the first thing that we should all, if this wasn't so politicized, we would all agree on is that we have laws in place, a lot of them, that they should be upheld, and a lot of times there aren't. Like, you know, you were mentioning kids who pick up guns, for instance, that aren't properly, you know, put away or something like that. I mean, we have to make sure that people who do own guns follow the safety laws and, you know, things like that. But also that the police, you know, follow up on dangerous people. Many of these mass shootings, the person was known to the police, and they already have laws in many states, in almost every state, that would allow the police to take away the gun from someone who was a danger to others, a real danger, you know. But they don't do that and so on. So, yeah. And, yeah, she knows that an AR-15 and an M16 are very different. But, yeah, you know, that's not politically convenient to talk about.
That's exactly the point. And I've got a story that we're going to, you know, that I'd seen, and maybe you had too, that a 80-year-old white man shot and killed a young black boy who came to his door. The kid knocked on the wrong door. And for some reason, the 80-year-old man felt threatened and just shot the kid when the kid hadn't really done anything other than knock on the door. So in some cases, it's going to be made a big deal out of the left because it's a white man killing a black kid who simply knocked on the door. And it was wrong. But, yeah, there are cases where maybe people shouldn't have the gun to begin with. But what do you say about the red flag laws? How much could they be abused in the process?
Well, yes, red flag laws can be abused, and they would be abused. It depends how they're written, but they're very easily abused. But the thing is, they don't really help. I mean, we have them. We have them. There are red flag laws in California. California is a perfect example. They have virtually every law that Democrats want to nationally pass, but they still have mass shootings. And that's basically, you know, what we're usually debating are these mass shootings. And they have all those laws, and red flag laws don't really work. A lot of these killers, they don't, how can I say, they don't, you know, you don't know that they're going to do this. They're usually rather young, not always, but usually, and they don't, haven't exhibited the kind of behavior. I mean, maybe their parents know and haven't reported it. Sometimes the police know, but quite often you don't know. So I'm not sure how that's going to help. We need more money, I think, at least I think, for mental, you know, for mental health people to learn how to identify someone who's going to act in that way. And I, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I do know that, you know, whenever this happens, their answers wouldn't help stop any of it most of the time. So it's not really even worth it, you know, picking up.
You're also pointing out in your piece that those polled, apparently this was, I don't know if this was in the report or you've said that the and they're not mainstream media to me anymore, the state-controlled media, if they actually noted that 82% of those polled feel very or somewhat safe from gun violence in their neighborhoods, only 18% worry about gun violence on a daily or daily basis. Was that inside their report, or they just kind of the mainstream media, state-controlled media, just glossed over it?
No, that was inside their report. They didn't mention that in any of the stories that I read, and not even Kaiser didn't mention that part of the poll in its own sort of key findings page, which is, you know, the media base basically regurgitates usually.
Right.
But the thing is, if 50% of people have been threatened by a gun or know someone who was killed, you're telling me only 18% of them worry about guns? Right. I find that highly unlikely, you know, that you would worry about all the time. And so there are a lot of contradictory, conflicting numbers here. People on polls, in polls like this, want to give you the answer you want to hear. It's very politicized. Depends who you're talking to. This is not the my problem with this poll was that they make it out to be something very scientific, which right. It clearly was not. Yeah.
And then the other thing is how the media treats it and blares it in big headlines as to how dangerous guns are. And again, we have many more guns in this nation than we do people. If guns were the issue, we would certainly know it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Most people who own guns are law-abiding citizens. They don't abuse that privilege, that right. It's not a privilege. And the people who do, need to be taken care of somehow. But when we try to ensnare all the people who own guns, and really that's what they want to do, incrementally ban guns. That's why they go after AR-15s. Not because they're an assault weapon or especially used in criminality. Only these crazy psychopath, mass shooters use these guns. Most of the time they're not used in criminality. And that's why they do these things. And that's why they have these sorts of pseudoscientific polling numbers. And my last point on that is only that a good journalist, even if they see something that sounds too perfect, they immediately become skeptical about it, even if it comports with their worldview. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
But these, they should be. That's what they should be doing. If someone sends me something that sounds exactly like what I want to hear, I'm pretty skeptical about it off the right away.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Yeah, but they don't act that way. They want to keep this narrative going, and it's all a sort of political machine that's trying to convince people of something and create a certain narrative.
I think you nailed it. And I always tell my audience, question everything I tell you. Don't take me for the final word. I mean, I have a source, I have an opinion, but again, if you have doubt, question it, because that's, as you said, that's the basis of journalism. Question, question, question.
Not anymore.
Yeah, you're right. Well, and the problem is, though, that somebody will read something like this that you put, again, this is from the Federalist, talking about this Kaiser report and the way your view on it, and you're absolutely right to simply raise the questions, and you even acknowledge at the end that you're not a statistician, but none of this really seems to make that much sense, and I'm trying to find the exact quote, but when you acknowledge your limitations on it and say, but shouldn't you question this? The media, the state-controlled media in mass, they will run with what fits the narrative.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I, typically someone will say, oh, you're just a conservative. You work for the Federalist. Who cares what you have to say? Instead of looking at what I've actually said and trying to debunk it, I'm open, you know, or debate it. And the, you know, that's, I think, what you have in a healthy society. People debate policy. But now it's really who can smear who fastest, who can, who can use emotional arguments to make the other or embarrass the other side. I mean, that's really where we are now. How often do you ever hear people actually debating policy or what we should do in any kind of constructive way? It almost never happens. I mean, it is what it is. And this is the, this is the landscape and you got to fight in it. But really, it's so rare that anyone actually debates these things. I don't hide that I have a point of view. I think having a point of view is fine. As long as you use real numbers and you make real arguments, I think that's the healthy way to live. You don't want, I hear people always talk about unity and, this is a free country. There's going to be a lot of different people with different points of view. But we shouldn't make up numbers. We shouldn't make up polls, and we should be able to have a debate about the real world. But I fear that that is not the case anymore.
I agree with you fully, and I thank you very much for your time. It's an excellent piece in the Federalist. I want to take I didn't allow enough time, but I do want to mention the newest book you've got out, and we'll have to schedule an interview with you. It's Eurish or Euro Trash. I can't quite read it. Why America Must Reject the Failed Ideas of the Dying Continent. I want to talk to you about that book. That's your latest book, right?
Yeah, sure, anytime.
Euro Trash. Very good. David, as always, we appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. David Harsanyi, The Federalist, and again, that book, we'll have to schedule that, see how this nation is trying to go more like the Europeans. Not a good idea. Ackerman Toyota wishing you a great 2023, but Jay Ackerman knows that times are tough for some. So Jay has a mission to help charities that truly make a difference. Food banks, veterans groups, charities battling cancer, head injuries. Jay wants to give back to the community. So I personally ask you to consider his mission when you're shopping for a car. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
If you're even thinking about buying a home, you need to contact Homestead Financial Mortgage. Get pre-approved. Jump ahead of others looking at the same house. Often you can close in as little as 15 days. Homestead Financial Mortgage can guide you and your realtor through the maze that slows down the process. Go to my website, easy to remember, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. My first name, larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We were expecting today for that $1.6 billion defamation lawsuit to take place and to start between Dominion Voting Systems and Fox Network. Well, today the judge made a statement which was kind of teased last night, suggesting that I have an announcement tomorrow morning. They're not holding the case today. They're going to try to begin tomorrow. The Delaware Superior Court judge overseeing the case did not say why the trial was being delayed, but the Wall Street Journal, citing someone familiar with the matter, reports that Fox making a late push to settle the case out of court. $1.6 billion? Yep. Reuters also reporting the delay due to settlement talks, as did the Washington Post. So far, Fox nor Dominion have made any response, any comments. One judge, trial lawyer, stated
This is not unusual that you have a case pushed back, but this late in the game is kind of strange. Lee Levine, attorney who's defended media company, says it's a little surprising to change or amend damage theories this late, but it's not earth-shaking. So Dominion is still asking a Delaware jury, apparently, to award damages because it says Fox News and its personnel, talent, knowingly, recklessly disregarded the truth when broadcasting what it considered outlandish lies about its voting equipment. Now, U.S. law has a very high bar to win a defamation lawsuit. Those cases rarely do go to trial. Well, the last several months, Dominion has produced a trove of internal communications from Fox employees showing that they knew what they were broadcasting was false. That included top Fox executives Rupert Murdoch, expected to testify in person, top Fox host Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, Maria Bartiromo. In turn, Fox is accusing Dominion, well, you're just cherry-picking evidence, and we're still arguing that we're defending the First Amendment, and that a win for Dominion would open the door to more lawsuits against media outlets and end up weakening press protections in the U.S. Several experts share that same concern. As one said, a professor at the University of Minnesota, former executive director of the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, wrote, "Unfortunately, I'd predict if Fox loses, we will see a significant uptick in libel cases against all news organizations." Others are saying the evidence against Fox is so strong in this case that it could show that existing media standards still provide workable protections, and so outlets can be held accountable. Now, keep in mind, this is a matter that, as far as Fox says, we were doing legitimate news reporting. At the time, many were leaving the Fox channel because there was maybe belief that the case was not rigged, as Trump was claiming. So then more supposed information was being presented to say, yes, the machines were rigged. And that leads to a $1.6 billion defamation lawsuit. But I stress to you again, it's very hard to prove defamation. And here's the other point. If it's a matter of haggling over the money, they can resolve that, and you get no decision on if Fox and Fox personnel, employees, Sean Hannity and like, were lying, knowingly lying, or stating what they believed was true, but then realized maybe later it wasn't exactly that. Or were they being played? We may never get to the real essence of the case if it's settled and the dollar amounts are just kind of put in a drawer and everybody goes away. We'll have to continue watching, and supposedly it will resume tomorrow. But there's always a chance for still another delay to be filed. So don't go rushing forward saying, oh, today the trial starts. Not necessarily so. Now, turning to the latest on the man charged with leaking government documents, classified documents. And again, I will point out to you when I say this, I still don't hear anyone calling for a full investigation. If you're going to go after this guy, this 21-year-old Eric Gardner, who leaked the material, I have no problem with that. But if you're talking about how he mishandled them, if you're talking about mishandling documents, you can look at Trump and say he mishandled some, classified or not. And Biden in particular mishandled because he put them in the garage. Anybody could get them if they had a key to get in, which his son Hunter did. But I also go back to all the materials that Hillary Clinton had on her server. And even the FBI director admitted that, just don't think this would be prosecuted because it's Hillary. Well, he didn't say that, but that's what it was. But what we did find out, information that involved almost real-time intel regarding Russia and Ukraine and what we knew and what they were doing. So Congressman Matt Gaetz, Republican of Florida, has filed a resolution to force President Biden to reveal how many American troops are deployed in Ukraine. This is because in the midst of some of those classified documents that got released, there are reports that at least 14 U.S. Special Ops forces are in Ukraine. Now, that doesn't surprise me, even though Biden's been saying we don't have any there. It doesn't surprise me that we might well have some. But I certainly didn't want to put them in jeopardy. I don't know if this information coming out has made their job tougher or not. And then again, it reemphasizes how many do we have there, because Biden repeatedly implied he would not send U.S. troops to Ukraine to take part in the war, going as far as to say that would be, quote, World War III. So Congressman Gates of Florida is saying the Biden administration and other allied countries have been misleading the world on the state of the Ukraine war. There must be total transparency from this administration to the American people when they seem to be gambling war with a nuclear adversary by having special forces operating in Ukraine. Now, if this passes, Biden and Defense Secretary Austin will have to send that information to Congress no later than 14 days after it's adopted. It would be privilege, since it's not reported to the House floor within 14 days of its introduction. Gates can make a motion to call it up as privileged business. He said, I have a concentration area of active duty military personnel in my area, and we need to know about that, and, of course, where the money's being spent. Now, speaking of the money, Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy said that he would not send any more taxpayer dollars to Ukraine if he's elected. And he again asserted Russia's invasion proves that energy independence is pivotal, not only to economic security, but to national security as well. Those remarks he made just ahead of the National Rifle Association annual meeting in Indianapolis. But his point is correct on every step of the way. Russia's invasion proves that energy independence is pivotal. And what does this administration want to do? They want to make us more energy dependent upon Russia and force you into electric cars where the electric grid can't handle it and you can't handle the cars. It's a great strategy.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
When you have to wait on something you really want, it's tough, but it's worth it. I'm talking about the opening date for Napoli C. Now, May 22. Opening day, May 22. Napoli C will open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. Napoli C will have some of the finest seafood, lobster, caviar. And, of course, keep in mind, you can always find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton. Town and Country, Streets of St. Charles, and now, Napoli C, May 22.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something with you that I want to leave you with a feeling and a knowledge and true belief that we are, as a nation, going to do better. We're going to have our differences. We're always going to have differences. We don't have to have bitter disputes and grievances and fights and bloodshed over it. That's why I've always suggested that every child at some point in their education should have to be involved in a debate club and take debate. You have to learn to argue this side of the issue as strongly as you would argue this side. And maybe this side isn't one you agree with. Doesn't make a difference which one you agree with. You've got to argue both sides effectively. And the way debate teams are set up, or were set up, unless they've changed dramatically, you don't even know which side you're taking until you get there, you and your teammate, if you're as a team. You get to the room where you're assigned, and then you find out which side you're taking. So you bring material for both. So you know the other arguments, you know what they're going to present, and you have a way to counter it, and you know how to weigh your argument. But, of course, they do the same thing. Where am I going with this? Because I saw something over the weekend that reminds us we can still be a solid nation. I went to the XFL game I mentioned to you, the Battle Hawks. And when the national anthem was being played, a young lady singing it, everyone in that stadium was on their feet, their hand over their heart, hats off, some joining in the singing, because it just really reemphasized America. We are so blessed here, and we just need to remember that and be thankful. As always, I appreciate you listening. I encourage you to get others to do so, and I thank you. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.